Also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
Hey, Dad, ready for golf?
Hi, son. I'm not sure I'm going to make it today. My arthritis is acting up this morning.
Dad, have you tried Blue Emu?
Have I tried what?
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Works fast, penetrates deep, relieves pain in your achy muscles and joints.
But I don't want to smell like a medicine chest.
You won't. Blue Emu's non-greasy and odor-free.
In that case, let's play 36 today.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
There's less than a week of campaigning left before a special election primary in the state of Alabama to fill a U.S. Senate seat. A Fox News Strategy Research statewide telephone survey finds in the Republican race, Roy Moore leads with 35% of the vote, Luther Strange with 29%, and Mo Brooks has 19%. The race for the Democrats, 40% for Robert Kennedy Jr., 30% for Doug Jones. The Senate Majority Leader is continuing to get some pressure from President Trump. Here's Sharon Reed.
He tweeted, quote, "Can you believe Mitch McConnell, who has screamed repeal and replace for 7 years, couldn't get it done? McConnell has said Trump had excessive expectations."
Still a buzz in the air around Washington, D.C., a day after an unarmed Russian spy plane was confirmed to have flown over the nation's capital. That low-altitude flight yesterday is permitted under the Treaty of Open Skies. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Allergy congestion, cut grass, cat on the sofa, dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful congestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Walmart does say it's, in its words, horrible that one of its stores has a sign up that makes it look like it's selling guns as back-to-school items. The photo, which went viral, does not indicate exactly what location it is, but it shows a case full of guns under the sign that reads, "Own the school year like a hero." A Walmart corporate spokesman says the company's working to identify which store put up the display and to be sure it's been taken down and that those responsible are disciplined. There are several preseason NFL games on the schedule tonight, and also making some NFL news, an apparent problem between the L.A. Chargers and Rams. Doesn't look like they like each other much, as we hear from Jason Campadonia.
During a practice with both teams yesterday in Irvine, a couple of players started shoving each other. Then another player joined in, and another. The scuffle quickly turned into a bench-clearing brawl with several players getting tossed around. Both teams will meet in the preseason, but don't see each other during the regular season. None of the players involved were badly hurt, but it's unclear if any of the players involved will face any disciplinary action from the league.
Still more NFL news. It's finally hiring full-time officials, as the NFL Referees Association says the league plans to hire 24 full-time refs for the 2017 season. Full-time officials will be hired at each of the 7 officiating positions. Refs have always worked as contractors in the past. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning. At 11:05, it is 81 degrees outside. And the forecast for today is mostly sunny with a high of 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 61. And then Friday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. Friday night, the chance continues. On Saturday, the 80% chance of showers with a thunderstorm before 9 a.m. Saturday night, the showers and thunderstorms continue, and then they looks like they clear out a little bit for Sunday afternoon, where it will be high of 83.
Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know. Climb every mountain.
Good morning and welcome to the Library Show with Jennifer Winberry and Jim Thatch, who is on vacation. Broadcasting live over the internet from the Hunterdon County Chamber offices in downtown Flemington. Tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. and get to know the Hunterdon County Library. The library offers a wide array of services, programs, and community support to the residents of Hunterdon County. On today's show, I will be interviewing author Kara Richardson Whiteley, who is the author of Gorge, My Journey Up Kilimanjaro at 300 Pounds. She will be speaking at the library on Tuesday evening, August 15th at 7 p.m., and she will be calling in a little bit. So I will we'll find out about her trek a little bit and what she'll be talking about at the library. September is Library Card Month, and our Library Card Month promotion is all in place. Show your Hunterdon County Library Card or your Flemington Free Public Library Card at local Hunterdon County businesses during the month of September and save money. Later on, I will go through the list with you. And October is the photo show month at the library. The applications are out in the library right now and ready for you to pick up, and they will be on the website shortly. We have student and adult categories, and then the show will be hung in the main gallery of the headquarters library during the month of October, and renowned New Jersey photographer and author Werther Horoszewski will be judging the photographs, and then there will be a Viewer's Choice Award, and Walter will then be giving a presentation. So stay tuned for all this on the library show. So good morning. And like I said, I'm Jennifer Winberry, and Jim Thatch is not here today. He's up in Vermont watching The Music Man, and I am played Climb Every Mountain this morning. And I know Jim is saying, why are you playing that? But it is in tribute to Kara Richardson Whiteley, who has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro three times. And I can't wait to ask her how she got the idea to do it and what made her do it three times after she did it the first time. But before I give Kara a call, and we won't be doing Today in History today with Jim because, obviously, he's not here, so he will not be able to abuse me as usual. But I had a special request from someone whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Mom. Who wondered who else was born on August 10th. So I found half a dozen people. 1874, Herbert Hoover, the 31st President of the United States, was born. And he's probably most well-known for being the president during the Great Depression and the Hoovervilles that popped up throughout cities during that time. 1909, Leo Fender, the founder of the Fender Music Company and creator of other musical instruments, but especially guitars. He was born today on August 10th, 1909. 1933, Rocky Colavito was born. He was an outfielder for the Indians, where he spent most of his career, and then he ended it in 68 with the Yankees. 1959, Rosanna Arquette. She won an Emmy for her role in The Executioner's Song, a made-for-TV movie, and she was also in Desperately Seeking Susan and Pulp Fiction. In 1972, Angie Harmon was born. She's most well-known for portraying Angie Carmichael, the assistant district attorney on Law and Order. And in 1971, the Society for American Baseball Research is founded in Cooperstown, New York. And I made sure I included that because my mother is a huge baseball fan. And I don't know how much of the ambient noise you're hearing, but there's a lot outside today, some hammering going on, and it sounds like a conference call out in the hallway. So I do apologize if any of that's coming through. Let's see. Tomorrow night at the North County, or tomorrow afternoon and Saturday afternoon at the North County Branch Library, we will be showing Passengers in our Friends of the Hunterdon County Library Academy Award nominated film series. And Passengers is about a spacecraft transporting thousands of people to a distant planet that has a malfunction in its sleep chambers. And as a result, two passengers are awakened 90 years early. And it's 2 p.m. Friday and Saturday afternoon at the North County Branch Library. If they're going to be rainy afternoons, it sounds like a good day to stop by. And as I said, on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., we will be welcoming best-selling author Kara Richardson-Whiteley. And she will discuss her book, Gorge, My Journey Up Kilimanjaro at 300 Pounds. And the book garden will be there to sell some books, and Kara will sign them after the talk. On Thursday, August 24th at 6:30, Lacey Phelps, a financial advisor with Edward Jones, will be at the headquarters library to talk about what role Medicare will play during your retirement. The increasing costs of health care is a growing concern for current and future retirees. In fact, 25 years ago, retirees spent almost twice as much money on food as on health care, and now the amounts are nearly equal. And Lacey will cover topics such as Medicare coverage and traditional medical expenses, long-term medical care expenses, strategies for addressing uncovered expenses. So all our programs are free and open to the public, and you can register for them by calling 908-788-1434 for the headquarters library, or 908-730-6135 for the North County branch, or go to our website, hclibrary.us, and click on the events calendar. And our adult and children summer reading clubs are just beginning to wrap up for the summer. Children summer reading club ends on August 31st, so bring in all your coupons and pick up your books, pick up your prizes. And the adult summer reading program also, it goes through Labor Day, so you still have time to report the books you have read. And there will be a celebration party at the headquarters library at 7 o'clock on the evening of September 7th at 7 p.m. So I'm going to go to the commercial break now, and I will get Kara on the phone, and we will be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Audience, through all the ways of business, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters, Mississippi.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what.
you sit there and look pretty, and home improvements, every Friday.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to the library show. If all went well, I have author Kara Richardson-Whiteley on the phone. Are you there, Kara?
I'm here.
Oh, excellent. Yay. I pushed all the right buttons. So thank you for taking out some time. I know you had a library lecture last night in Princeton.
Correct.
And you will be at the headquarters library on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And you're going to talk about your book, Gorge, which came out in 2015.
That's right.
And it talked about...
That's right. Sometimes that's what it takes to get over something.
Okay. And did you make it to the summit each time?
It's each attempt or each climb had its own lessons. The first time I climbed the mountain was after a 120-pound weight loss and thought I had my weight under control. I was hiking a lot. I was eating all the right foods. And really on a healthy path. And 1 year after that climb, I had my first child. And like a lot of women who struggle with weight, I put more than half of that weight back on. And I assure you, my daughter was 7 pounds, 9 ounces. So I blame it on the fact that the same pants as I wore on that first climb, even though I had gained back half of the weight that I had lost. And, here I was, the base of Kilimanjaro, and I didn't even have the proper pants to go up the mountain with. So I had to go down to the hotel lobby and ask them to physically, like, take about 6 inches from each side of one pants and add them to the other so they'd be big enough. So I actually had one pair of functioning pants to climb the mountain because, of course, there are no Lane Bryant's or plus-size clothing stores at the base of Kilimanjaro. And so, you know, spoiler alert for Gorge, obviously that second climb did not go well, and I had to turn back. I made it to summit night out of 5.5 days up, 1.5 days down. Summit night is 15 hours of climbing. However, it was a really unsuccessful climb. Came back home to New Jersey. I live in Summit. And I was really in the throes of binge eating disorder, probably the darkest time I've ever been in. And what I mean by that is that, I would eat something and then replace it so that nobody knew that I was truly struggling with food. So, you know, I was the person who did the grocery shopping. I might buy a treat for my family, like ice cream. I'd take, a healthy portion and have it with my daughter and my husband. And then the next day I would work from home and chip away at it until it was almost gone. And then I would go to the store and replace it. And then it would start all again the very next day. So I was basically going, like, through a half gallon of ice cream every single day or whatever treat was in the house. And I was in a really, really dark place until, of course, some friends offered to climb Kilimanjaro and raise money for the organization that I always climbed it for. And $30,000 was on the table for this organization. But I knew if I was going to climb it that third time, I would have to approach it differently. And that's the story of Gorge, of how I would approach it differently.
Okay, and how long, just for people who have heard about climbing Kilimanjaro but didn't read up on it last night like I did, about how long does it typically take a person to climb?
Oh, to climb Kilimanjaro, it depends on which route you take. It's 5.5 days up and 1.5 days down on the Rangai route.
Okay.
Since it's an acclimatization hike, in other words, you're going up to 19,343 feet.
Right, which is almost 19.
You need to take some extra time. It's wise to take extra time. I know a lot of people like to cram it in with all sorts of the other amazing things you can do while you're in Africa, like go on safari and really explore the continent. But you really want to take as long as possible because it gives your body a little longer to acclimatize.
Right, because you're 19,000 feet above sea level, above where you are in New Jersey.
Right. There's half as much oxygen at the top as there is here in New Jersey.
And I think people forget you have to come back down.
Oh, yeah, there is that. That's right.
It takes a couple days to come down.
You know, that last day on the mountain is, you know, it's a real difficult journey because, you know, you're spent. You know, you've hiked all the way up. But then that last day, even after summit night, which is 15 hours of hiking, the last day you still have to, you know, basically walk a half marathon downhill.
Okay.
So it's pretty intense.
And when you get closer to the bottom, do you just want to keep going because you want to finish it, or you know it's too much to do in one day?
Can you say that one more
time? Like when you're coming down the hill.
Oh, when you're going down.
Like, you know, if you're driving home from a long trip, you're like, oh, we'll just push through and get through it.
No, I mean, you really, in that summit night where you go halfway down the mountain, you go to the summit and then halfway down, you really do run out of daylight and energy. I think with that much hiking in one day, at least for me personally, you really do need to have a good supper and a rest. You'll sleep well that night.
Okay. What was the impetus for you deciding I want to climb Kilimanjaro?
You know, I used to be a newspaper reporter for the Courier News in Bridgewater, and the first time I climbed Kilimanjaro, I was doing all this hiking around New Jersey. I would do, I did like Watchung Reservation. I did the White Trail. I think it's the White Trail all the way around. I did Mount Tammany. I took on bigger goals like Camel's Hump in Vermont and Mount Mansfield. I even did the Grand Canyon all the way down and then thankfully back up again. And so I was really looking for a really big goal. And Kilimanjaro is the highest mountain that you can hike to the top of. So that means no ice axes, no ropes, no supplemental oxygen, assuming you go down the right side of the mountain.
Okay.
And you don't get too sick. But anyway, I thought this would be a real iconic challenge. And since it's such an iconic challenge, you can do it to raise money for charity. And see, there was a strange thing that was happening, and we didn't really talk much about this yet, but when someone sees someone who's of a higher weight or obese, I mean, I was at my highest 360 pounds, you might wonder, like, God, you know, like, what made them so big? You know, how come they just can't figure it out? Isn't it just eat less, move more? Well, I started to put on weight when I was 9 years old, and my parents were on the verge of divorce, and they would scream at each other, and I now have a nine-year-old daughter, and I wonder, gosh, I mean, how would she process that if my husband and I were acting so terribly in front of her? I mean, I literally would have to get on the phone with my dad, like, Daddy, please come home. My mom was a wreck, and finally we moved to Vermont, and you know, we were on a single mom income. My mom wasn't around because she worked evenings, and it left me really vulnerable and lonely. So vulnerable that on my 12th birthday, I was sexually assaulted by one of my brother's friends who is almost an adult. And so the only thing that got me out of that situation was I kind of offered the guy something to eat. So all along the way, I kind of just used food to drown out how I was feeling. These really complex emotions that a kid might experience or might be able to cope with if he or she had a good support mechanism. But I was kind of left without it. The only thing that I had was food. And so over the years, I really used it as a way to kind of push away what I was feeling, and also probably because of the sexual assault, probably push away a lot of attention for my body. And so as I was on this path to doing more hiking, like the Grand Canyon and all these mountains, I started to naturally lose weight. And something that started happening that was very strange, and I think this is not an uncommon occurrence at workplaces across the country, but people started to really notice. And, you know, here I was, I'd lost more than 100 pounds, and people had to say something. Everybody had to call me skinny, which, you know, I was still like 240, so I wasn't anywhere near skinny. Everybody had to ask me, you know, what I was eating for breakfast, what I was eating for lunch, did I have the surgery, am I on Weight Watchers? They wanted to know every single detail about how I was losing weight and how long it took. and, you know, people would even follow me into the bathroom. So I tell you that story because I knew I needed to start to change the conversation. This was really uncomfortable for me, and I decided that I would take on Kilimanjaro, but I wanted to do it for charity. I decided on Global Alliance for Africa, which is based in Chicago, and they do Kilimanjaro climbs to raise money for their organization, which supports AIDS orphans there. And to give you an idea how many questions I was getting about my weight, my husband and I were able to raise $12,000 through AIDS orphans, because anytime somebody brought up my weight or my, you know, how I look great, I would tell them how I was climbing Kilimanjaro to raise money for AIDS orphans, and here's how they can donate. So it was a pretty effective strategy to not only achieve the goal of climbing Kilimanjaro, but do something good for someone else.
Okay, and you mentioned you have a 9-year-old daughter. After she was born, were you afraid, or how did you, were you concerned that she would become a chubby child, or?
In fact, that's what I'm writing about in my next book, Weight of Being. It's coming out in the spring of next year from Hachette. And, you know, that is more my struggle with weight and a healthy path forward for myself, for my husband, for my family, my children. I have 3 children now. And just like I've done 3 Kilimanjaro climbs, 3 children is enough. There won't be any more. But yeah, it's something that I struggle with every day, kind of walking this fine line of doing something positive for myself, taking on healthy challenges. And so that means that here at sea level, I do things like I have a community garden plot where, you know, I grow kale, I grow tomatoes, I grow zucchinis, I grow lots of things that... you know, that my children are a part of. And that's one of the healthiest things that my mother instilled in me, was the ability to grow vegetables and have a really lovely, wonderful, flourishing garden. And so I can take the good parts from my childhood and pass them on to my children. But then I can also course correct for myself and recognize when I might be leading bad behaviors. But it's a, you know, even for me personally, it's a fine line to walk, right? There's so many pieces of advice about how to lose weight, and everybody thinks they have the right answer. But for me, as somebody who struggles with binge eating disorder, it's not like I can give up food. What I can do is improve my relationship with food. But most importantly, not just my relationship with food, but my relationship with stress. And, I've been working with Eating Recovery Center, which has the Better program for binge eating treatment and recovery. And I really find, you know, I do speaking engagements to help kind of build compassion and understanding about binge eating disorder and how it really impacts people. But the more I work with their amazing professionals, such as Dr. Julie Friedman, I learn something more about how to kind of carve out this healthy path for myself. So I learned that, you know, it's not so much about my relationship with food, and it's not about restricting, you know, cutting out all carbs, cutting out all this, cutting out cooked food, cutting out, you know, everybody's got a set of rules, or fasting from X time to X time and how this is effective. For me, it's more about what makes my body feel good. Not responding to a trigger, in knowing when my body is experiencing a trigger, like when I'm sleep deprived, I know that I'm more vulnerable to make some, let's just say, uninformed food choices. So I need to be constantly aware, and also, you know, I'd say, you know, the Kilimanjaro journey and my journey to wellness have a lot in common. And Kilimanjaro, it taught me that if something's bothering me, or if, you know, it's raining, you have to deal with things as they come. There's no other way to get through something than to deal with it immediately. Like if you start to feel the effects of altitude sickness, you either need to take some medicine or go back down the mountain. If you're cold, you put a jacket on. And if something's bothering you, then you need to deal with it immediately. And so I learned a lot from Kilimanjaro, but I also continue to learn here at sea level about how to deal with this condition, because, you know, I've got a whole life to live and I don't want it to be consumed by food.
I was going to ask you, at the risk of sounding like your coworkers, your previous times when you lost weight, did you do Weight Watchers? Did you do, or did you just eat less and move more?
Yeah, I was a member of Weight Watchers. I actually still blog for Weight Watchers. I think I actually had a very interesting conversation with somebody at a conference last week in Denver at Eating Recovery Center's conference, and we were talking about support groups and, you know, there's a disconnect sometimes between the eating disorders community and also the weight loss community, right? And I can really see why that is. But I can tell you that the support element of Weight Watchers was really helpful to me, to be in a room with people who understand what you're going through. And yes, it's a business, but, you know, a lot of the strategies are not so different than, you know, binge eating disorder treatment. Some are different and some are not. But at the time when I did lose that weight, I did use mostly Weight Watchers, some of Oprah's boot camp where I eliminated all the white stuff. I was working out 7 times a week. But now moving forward, it's not about that. I have lost a tremendous amount of weight through a lot of various strategies. But the majority, the thing to really focus on is that I'm not using food as a coping mechanism anymore.
Since you've gone through this process, have you become your motivational speaker? Do you counsel other women? I guess I'm especially women.
You know, I wouldn't say that I counsel other women, but I do talks around the country. For example, I've done talks at Google. I've done talks at Sanofi. And I'm doing something at Pfizer this fall. I do colleges and universities such as Purdue and Dartmouth. And I share my story in hopes of inspiring people in a lot of different ways. It really depends on the venue what I would talk about. But oftentimes it's really about overcoming obstacles and betting on yourself in this world, so you can ask for the things that you need and can get the success that you want, no matter where you are on the scale, where you are in life. It's really about helping to carve your own path forward.
Okay, so you mentioned you're working on another book coming out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've climbed Kilimanjaro and you've done it 3 times, do you think you'll have another great goal or another big summit to climb?
Yeah, I mean, I say that I'm not climbing Kilimanjaro anymore, but if Oprah asked me to, I would be there one more time. I think that I have a couple goals in mind. One is Havasu Falls, which is off the Grand Canyon. I was supposed to go this fall, but because of my travel schedule, it got postponed. So maybe I'll do that in the spring. There's a lot of places here in the United States that I would love to hike. And Machu Picchu, of course, is always on my life list. So I'm always looking for an opportunity to do that. I'd love to hike in Hawaii and all sorts of places around the world. I mean, I guess the most important thing is not so much to have something as epic as Kilimanjaro, because there's going to be few other opportunities that
right.
are, I mean, it's the highest mountain that you can hike, right? So now I just have to go for mountains with really cool things like Machu Picchu. But the most important thing for me moving forward is that hiking continues to come naturally for me. And what I mean by that is that I have to continue taking care of my body in a way that I feel strong enough and powerful enough to continue hiking. And, you know, for example, yesterday morning, my friend and I had planned a trip over to South Mountain Reservation to do a waterfalls hike. And, you know, we hiked for 2 hours. We had 2 hours before I had to pick up my daughter, one of my daughters from camp. And so we did what we could. It was just a morning thing. It was a chance to talk. I've been going through something kind of stressful. And so I was able to kind of spend 2 hours with her, talk through life, and I immediately felt better. So that kind of stuff is as meaningful or more meaningful to me than any of the biggest hikes. Or, for example, when we were, you know, I was in Vermont about to drop my oldest daughter off at camp, and my husband came up so that he could spend a little time with her before she left for camp. And before he left to go back to work the following day, you know, we went up Mount Philo. It's not a huge mountain, but it was about just kind of taking some time together as a family and really being with each other in a non-distracted way that doesn't involve food. So that's the kind of experience or goal that I'm really reaching for.
Okay. In your interview in the Huffington Post, and you mentioned this vegetable when you mentioned your community garden, you said kale. I could love kale. I would love kale. Do you love kale now? Because kale is probably my favorite vegetable.
Is your favorite vegetable?
It is. I love kale.
I do love kale. I love to put it in soups especially, but I do draw the line at drinking it.
Okay. I'm a fan of it raw.
Are you a fan of it raw?
I
yeah.
am.
Yeah. It's good in all sorts of ways, but I just don't drink kale. No offense.
No, I don't drink it either because I don't think I have a high enough sweet blender to get it done. Do you do a lot of cooking with your girls or your daughter? I don't know what your other two children are. So that they learn healthy cooking, healthy habits.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what's kind of interesting, and as a mom, just experiencing this, yeah, I try to cook with them as much as I can, but at the same time, they also have their own ideas. I mean, there's all these kids baking competitions
yes.
on TV, and so I have one daughter who always wants to make cookies, and so I'm constantly... because, again, I'm constantly working on my relationship with food, and so I had to decide, you know, did I say yes, we can make cookies because that was the day we were preparing our taxes and I was really stressed out, or did I say yes because I'm supporting her culinary ambitions? So each food choice and each thing that I do with my family is complicated. So I walk this really fine line of, like, giving her... making sure she has a healthy relationship with her body and her food, but at the same time not giving in to whims that are unhealthy for her. You know, we ultimately decided, because she was so into baking that she was asking to make something every single day. I don't think it had anything to do with emotional eating, more that she just really loved this show and was totally inspired. And so we kind of drew the line. It's like, okay, we're going to call this Make Something Wednesday, where you can make whatever you want. We need to know what the ingredients will be, and that'll be your day that you make something, because it was getting to be too much. And so that's why I talk about, like, you know, it's constantly evaluating, and maybe that will change. Maybe it'll be twice a week or whatever, but it's just a matter of what we can handle, how much food we want in the house that is sweets, you know. And And I like the idea that she has to make her sweets, because it's more, for lack of a better word, it's more organic in that, and what I mean by that is, like, it's, she had to work for it, you know, instead of it being, like, just a package that she opens and eats. And so when I binged in the past, that was kind of my MO, is just kind of just opening up a package, finishing it, and then moving on to the next thing without any really care or thought. But for her to be able to learn to cook and to bake, there's so much loving care that goes into making it, and pride, that it's a very different relationship with sweets and food than I had.
Right, and if you had to make a batch of chocolate chip cookies to eat them, to binge eat them, you might
right.
think twice about it.
Right.
Or by the time you finish the process, it might have passed.
Right.
Okay, so is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about you and your journey? Or?
Well, I hope everybody comes to see me next week at the library. That would be awesome. I share my story with a lot more details, and also I have you know, some slides to show people the images of the mountain. I also can answer people's questions if they are seriously considering climbing Kilimanjaro. I can go over packing lists and things like that. But generally the conversation is about how my journey with food, and you'll hear a lot more details there. So don't think this is the big spoiler conversation.
This is just the appetizer, as it were.
This is the appetizer. That's right. Very good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out this morning to talk with me.
My pleasure. It was great. Thank you so much for having me on.
I look forward to meeting you on Tuesday.
All right. Yeah, likewise.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
So that was Cara Richardson-Whiteley, who will be at the library on Tuesday evening. And now I am going to go to the last commercial break, and we come back. I will tell you all the businesses at which you can save money during September.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access the top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I'm Jennifer Winbury, and Jim Thatch is on vacation this week. He'll be back next Thursday. Jim Gannot will be in just 10 minutes to take care of some business. And right now I will talk to you about September being library card sign-up month. And for the last 7 years or so, the Hunterdon County Library has been partnering with local businesses. We ask them to offer library card holders a little discount or maybe give them a free goldfish during the month of September for people who show their library card. And it's also for Flemington Free Public Library card holders. And over the years, the businesses have grown, and we've always had a variety of businesses. And Jim Gannot will tell you, he's one of our founding members of this program. Crown Trophy will give you 10% off any trophy or sign order. And he said, even if no one else comes in, my name has been out there for a month, and it's absolutely no cost to the business. Jim does all the artwork. Jim does the brochure. We deliver the artwork. We put it on our website. We write the press releases, and there you go. So this year, under the fitness category, since we were just talking with Cara Richardson, We have Be Here Now Yoga on Main Street in Flemington. Buy a new student 3-pack and get the 4th class free. Gymnastics Unlimited will give you a free bookmark. Hunterdon County YMCA will give you a free week for the entire family. USA Karate and Fitness will give you 1 week free. Like I said, Jim Gano at Crown Trophy will give you 10% off trophy and sign orders. Darrow's Sporting Edge in White House Station will give you 15% off in-stock purchases. And Sneakers Plus will give you 20% off your entire purchase, not including sale items, varsity jackets, or online purchases. Some of the other people who participate are Act Two Books in Turntable Junction, The Book Garden, Comic Fusion, Twice Told Tales and Moonstone Mystery Books, Ink Junction. If you want to get a new tattoo, they'll give you 10% off a purchase of $65 or more. Fish and Pets Plus on Commerce Street will give you a free betta fish for 10% off live fish. Higgins News Agency on Main Street will give you a large coffee for 99 cents. The Spinnery in Frenchtown will give you 10% off any supplies or discount. Stowaway Self-Storage, which I believe Jim Thatch has used, will give you 50% off the first month's rent. Health and Beauties, we have great clips in Flemington and Clinton. Jersey Community Acupuncture and Leo Family Dental, both in Flemington. Beyond Bijou in Clinton will give you 50% off one item. Bluefish in Trenton Avenue in Frenchtown will give you 10% off a total in-store purchase. The shops at J. Jill in Flemington are even giving a 30% discount. And enjoy yourself on Stengel Road. The Red Mill Museum Village will give you $2 off the regular admission. And St. Paul's Christian Preschool on Route 31 in Flemington will give you a free T-shirt. And we also have some food and beverage businesses participating. Basil Bandwagon in Flemington and Clinton. Grateful Bites on Route 12 in Flemington. Jersey Mike's Subs. The Italian Bakery and Cafe. Lone Eagle Brewing, where Jim does trivia nights sometimes on Wednesdays. The Mixing Bowl in Turntable Junction. And Pambi's, a new ice cream place on Route 31 South in Lebanon. So these businesses support your library. Please support these businesses. And these brochures will be available in all the county libraries probably in a week or so, and they will also be on our website, hclibrary.us. And I also mentioned the amateur photography show at the beginning of the show. It's this October. It's open to amateur photographers of Hunterdon County. There will be awards for black and white, adults and students. Students are ages 12 to 18. There'll be a color award for students. The adult color category will be broken down into 6 subcategories. Hunterdon County scene, floral, wildlife, scenic landscape, abstract still life, or people and human interest. There will be ribbons for first, second, and honorable mention in each category, and cash prizes for first place winners. The public choice award will be judged by library patrons, so during the month of October, come in and vote for your favorite photograph. The entry deadline, and there's an entry form on the bottom of the flyer, and this is, you should turn this in ahead of time so Jim has a count. He can accept about 70 to 75 photographs. The entry deadline is September 29th. Exhibitors may show one photograph. Oh, and it says the first 100 photographers entering will be accepted. Photographs will be received on Sunday, October 1st from 1 to 3, or Thursday, September 29th from 10 to 12 in the gallery. And we'll get back to you on that because those dates don't match up. The maximum size should be 12 by 16, including the frame. All photos must be framed and wired for hanging on a pegboard. All entries must be displayed at the Hunterdon County Library headquarters throughout the month of October. And the awards presentation will be held on Wednesday, October 11th at 6:30 in the HCL meeting room. Exhibited photos must be picked up on Monday, October 30th between 2 and 4, or Tuesday, October 31st between 10 and 12. And show sponsors reserve the right to reject any photograph they deem inappropriate for showing. Photographers will be advised of non-acceptance. So there will be additional forms are available at the Hunterdon County Library headquarters and the branches, and on our website, hclibrary.us. And let's see. About 5 more minutes before Jim gets here, Jim Gano gets here. And today is the second Thursday of the month, which means the library reads list for September is out. These are books voted on by librarians throughout the United States, and they're the ones that they are looking most forward to getting into their hands of their readers in September. And all these books are available to put on hold at the library, hclibrary.us. In the upper right-hand corner, just click on Search the Catalog. So the first book is Little Fires Everywhere by Celeste Wen. It delves into family relationships and what parenthood, either biological or adoption, means. We follow the members of two families living in the idyllic, perfectly planned suburb of Shaker Heights, Ohio. Mia and Pearl, mother and daughter, living a less traditional lifestyle, moving from town to town every few months, and the Richardson, the perfect nuclear family, in the perfect sub, until Izzy Richardson burns the family home down. And the author's superpower is her ability to pull you into the book from the very first sentence. Another book on the list is one that is very near and dear to a lot of librarians' hearts. It's Dear Fahrenheit 451, Love and Heartbreak in the Stacks by Annie Spence. If you could tell a book how you really feel, this is what the author has done with her collection of love letters to books. Readers and librarians especially will appreciate the sly stabs or roastings that the author makes to point out fine and not so fine moments of key books that she is contemplating removing from her shelves. She weaves in stories from her life inside a library, which is fodder for chuckles itself. Another book on the list is Love and Other Consolation Prizes by Jamie Ford, whose hotel at the corner of Bitter and Sweet has been a popular book with book groups for many years. Ford excels at historical fiction, especially set in the Pacific Northwest. In this tale, the reader follows the life of Ernest Young, experiencing the early 1900s in Seattle. He is raffled off in the Alaska-Yukon Pacific Exhibition, and the story follows an adult Ernest as the 1962 Seattle World's Fair opens. Rich with historical detail and touching on a time period not widely known, and I'm going to guess the 1962 Seattle World's Fair is a typo. This moving story comes together and draws reader in. Another librarian's favorite is being published by HarperCollins. It's A Child Finder. Who better to find a missing child than one who has escaped abduction? Denenfeld offers a nuanced treatment of a difficult subject. The narrative switches between the voice of the missing child and the child finder Naomi as she searches. While Naomi's abduction gives her a unique ability to find missing children, it left her with issues. As she searches for the missing child, we see her move toward resolution. Additionally, the glimpse into the mind of the missing child, which shows us a child's view of the situation and the steps she takes to survive, is fascinating. And rounding out the list are two of my favorite books for September, Caroline, The Little House Revisited by Sarah Miller, which retells the Little House on the Prairie story from the viewpoint of Laura's mother, Caroline, and George and Lizzie, a novel which was written by America's librarian, Nancy Pearl, who can be heard on NPR. So that's all I have for today. Thank you for listening. Remember, wherever you are, you can call online. Call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you. And until next week, good night.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
While some are calling on President Trump to tone down his rhetoric regarding North Korea, some are not bothered by it at all. Republican Representative Peter King of New York sits on the Homeland Security Panel. The Republican says there is a precedent
for Trump's tough talk of fire and fury.
I mean, President Eisenhower ended the fighting in Korea by specifically threatening to use nuclear weapons. So that would have been the U.S. making a preemptive use of nuclear weapons. So this isn't unusual or unprecedented for this type of talk, and it worked. It caused North Korea to back down.
King speaks on MSNBC as North Korea's military claims it's making actual plans for a missile attack on Guam. The Labor Department says 244,000 Americans filed for first-time jobless claims last week, 3,000 more than the previous week, and a little bit above predictions. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
Hey, Dad, ready for golf?
Hi, son. I'm not sure I'm going to make it today. My arthritis is acting up this morning.
Dad, have you tried Blue Emu?
Have I tried what?
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Works fast, penetrates deep, relieves pain in your achy muscles and joints.
But I don't want to smell like a medicine chest.
You won't. Blue Emu's non-greasy and odor-free.
In that case, let's play 36 today.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
There's less than a week of campaigning left before a special election primary in the state of Alabama to fill a U.S. Senate seat. A Fox News Strategy Research statewide telephone survey finds in the Republican race, Roy Moore leads with 35% of the vote, Luther Strange with 29%, and Mo Brooks has 19%. The race for the Democrats, 40% for Robert Kennedy Jr., 30% for Doug Jones. The Senate Majority Leader is continuing to get some pressure from President Trump. Here's Sharon Reed.
He tweeted, quote, "Can you believe Mitch McConnell, who has screamed repeal and replace for 7 years, couldn't get it done? McConnell has said Trump had excessive expectations."
Still a buzz in the air around Washington, D.C., a day after an unarmed Russian spy plane was confirmed to have flown over the nation's capital. That low-altitude flight yesterday is permitted under the Treaty of Open Skies. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Allergy congestion, cut grass, cat on the sofa, dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Walmart does say it's, in its words, horrible that one of its stores has a sign up that makes it look like it's selling guns as back-to-school items. The photo, which went viral, does not indicate exactly what location it is, but it shows a case full of guns under the sign that reads, "Own the school year like a hero." A Walmart corporate spokesman says the company's working to identify which store put up the display and to be sure it's been taken down and that those responsible are disciplined. There are several preseason NFL games on the schedule tonight, and also making some NFL news, an apparent problem between the L.A. Chargers and Rams. Doesn't look like they like each other much, as we hear from Jason Campadonia.
During a practice with both teams yesterday in Irvine, a couple of players started shoving each other. Then another player joined in, and another. The scuffle quickly turned into a bench-clearing brawl with several players getting tossed around. Both teams will meet in the preseason, but don't see each other during the regular season. None of the players involved were badly hurt, but it's unclear if any of the players involved will face any disciplinary action from the league.
Still more NFL news. It's finally hiring full-time officials as the NFL Referees Association says the league plans to hire 24 full-time refs for the 2017 season. Full-time officials will be hired at each of the 7 officiating positions. Refs have always worked as contractors in the past. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. good day and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning,